Welcome to Ask the Pastor. The question today is, what do you mean by the phrase, count the cost to be saved? And we use that phrase, I guess, a lot in our preaching from time to time, and I think you have to be willing to count the cost, even though the phrase is not used exactly, counting the cost to be saved in one place in those very words, but still the principle is there. There's a parable given in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. So as we use that phrase, that there's the where it says counteth the cost, that means a continuous action verb, the man who's building a building. Well, as far as the application in this chapter, just before he gave us this parable, and by the way, parable's God's word. It's the window through which to see truth. And he told about three things in this book of Luke, chapter number 14, that I believe is probably what's involved in counting the cost to be saved. Because listen to what it says in verse number 26. Luke 14, 26. If a man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, that means you'll never be saved. I know you can have a disciple that's not saved, but this is talking about a genuine, true disciple. Unless you're willing to put Jesus in a higher elevation than your family, loving him more. Now, the word hate is used, which means to love less here. Unless you love Jesus more than you do your wife, your husband, your family, and all those things, or your children, whatnot, he said, you cannot come to me. If you don't come to him, you're not saved. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So you've got to love him supremely. That's the cost you've got to invite. I've got to put him ahead of everyone else. In fact, the business, when you do that, and you say, I love the Lord, I'm going to church today, and maybe the wife says, well, I want to go somewhere else, and I want to do this or that. And then, no, I'm going to church. And the wife might say, well, do you mean you don't love me like you ought to love me? No, I love the Lord more. I love you with all my heart, but I love the Lord more, and I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. So for you to be saved, for you to come to be his disciple, to come to Christ, you got to put him number one priority. And God's got to make you do it, because your nature's not to do that. And then he also said in verse 27 of Luke chapter 14, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You can't be saved unless you're willing to bear your cross in life. Now, whatever that might be, that could be a lot of things. Some people say, I don't like the way the Lord made me. My nose is too big, or my ears are too big, or I've got something about your facial expression or something about your body you don't like. Listen, God made you who you are. And he knew what he was doing, and he wants to use you the way you are. Well, I don't have any talent. Listen, bear your cross. Do what you know to do at the time. In other words, that's to deny yourself. And it takes a work of God for you to do that and take the cross of the Lord Jesus, in essence, and bear it for him, the cause of Christ, and keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Unless you're willing to do it, he said, you cannot be my disciple. In other words, you'll never be saved. In other words, if you want, and you've got to come after me, you've got to follow me. But if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. Third thing, it said in verse 33 of Luke 14, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, it's giving up everything. You say, wait a minute. People have got land and houses and buildings and businesses and whatnot, and they're still saved. That's true. But if God puts his finger on something and says, you've got to get rid of it, you've got to let it go. I don't care what it is. I mean, it's got to, and it doesn't mean you've got to necessarily never use it again. For instance, one boy one time came to the altar several times, and the preacher said he knelt down the altar, and one day he cried out and said, Lord, you can have that pony. Well, that pony meant much to him, and he gave up the pony in his life and said he got saved. I don't know the outcome of that, but the thing about it, he might have rode the pony that afternoon, but it was the Lord's pony, not his. And so you, whatever you got, cars, businesses, and houses, and whatnot, family, God gave them to you. He gave you everything. So you just more or less have to put it in his hand forsaking all, I want you as number one. I want to come to you to be saved. That's the principle that's involved in men's salvation. Paul gave us this principle when he said this about himself in Philippians chapter 3. He gave his pedigree here, and he said in verse 4 of chapter number 3 of Philippians, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He said, I could have a lot of confidence in the flesh because of who he was. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul wasn't bragging. He just simply was a... Paul had a lot that he surrendered. He yielded up. He said, and he gives his pedigree, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, that was things that Paul said, I've got in my life. But he had to give up all that. He had to give up his religion. He had to give up his Phariseeism, and he had to come clean with God, and he had to count that cost. Now, where did he do that? When? And by the way, you realize something sometimes. I don't know whether this is so with a Jewish person or not, but sometimes when a person in some countries, when they turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord, their daddy goes out and buries a casket in the graveyard and puts up a tombstone. This, here lies my son. Here lies my son. Now, that could have happened to Paul as well. I don't know. But he did take all of his pedigree, all of his training, and all that he'd done, all the zeal that he had. And the Bible says in verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's equivalent to being saved. He said, I'm willing to put everything in my life in a basket, one single basket, and count it as one loss, all things, one loss, that I might be saved, that I might win Christ. And Paul did that. You say, where did he do that? He did that for 3 days while he lay on the street called Straight down in Damascus after the Lord appeared to him. Let it be known to him that he was going to have to carry the message to the Gentiles. And oh my, that was a no-no for a Jew to go to a Gentile. They was considered dogs. And after all, Paul had put people in prison. Paul had caused people to be stoned and die. He didn't like anyone going to the Gentiles for sure. And so as a result, that he had to analyze that. And for 3 days and three nights, he lay there on a street called Straight. And he took inventory. He said, I'm a Benjamin, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm the stock of Israel. He said, I've got a pedigree a mile long. And in other words, but he said, he come finally to a conclusion after the end of 3 days of laying there. And in fact, it tells his testimony in Acts 26, where that he said that he told his testimony there to Agrippa, that King Agrippa, that he would be going to have to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And that was... was one of the things was probably a hang-up to him. I've heard of men who say, well, I didn't want to be saved because I didn't want to preach, and I knew I was going to have to be a preacher. Now, that goes against the grain of common people, but I won't tell you, God, the Lord does what he wants to, how he wants to, when he wants to, but you're going to have to count the cost. He may show you what I'm going to expect out of you is to do this, to do that. And if you're not willing to do that, he told the rich young ruler, go sell that you've got, and give to the poor, and come follow me. That's lordship. In other words, following Jesus as Lord. And people don't want to do it. I mean, I know that from a fact here. Sometimes we preach some things, and it's what the Lord says, and they don't always do it, but I still love them where they are, and I'm going to love them because I know God's got to do the work. But yet they take the attitude, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I'll do what I want to do. I won't tell you what. If you're not counted the cost yet, and until you come to that place, you'll never be saved until you're willing to do whatever Jesus says, count the cost, and yield everything up and come to him. Simply to the cross I cling and nothing else. In other words, at that particular time. So Paul did that, and on the street called Straight. And when he come to that conclusion, the Lord knew about it, knew when it was. In Acts 22, verse 16, he told God told Ananias to go over and tell him. On the street called Straight. And Ananias went over there and told him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, he put baptism in the same the same subject, but baptism was what washed away his sins. It was confession. That's confession with the mouth, in essence, and actions of what the Lord's done for me. He saved me, and I died to self. The old man died, and the new man raised to walk in newness of life. And I go in the water baptismal grave to show forth the picture that I died and raised to walk in newness of life, just like our Lord died and raised to walk in newness of life. So therefore, you got to count the cost, and God's got to do it, and He'll put His finger on it. And I'll tell you, that day Paul got up and cried out to the Lord and was saved. And then he was baptized too, because he had been saved, not to be saved. And so as a result, you've got to count the cost. If you've never counted the cost, you better take inventory to see if you're really saved or not, because the Lord wants you to be saved. And He said, unless you're willing to hate your mother and father and so forth, bear your own cross and forsake all you have, you cannot be My disciple. If you come unto Me holding on to all those things, He's going to say, wait a minute till you get rid of those things. And so therefore, you need to take inventory. You need to count the cost, or else you'll never be saved. So Paul said, I count all things lost. I count it but dung, just a whole basket full of dung, just offscouring of the feces of the animals. I count it that way, that I might win Christ, that I might be saved. And Paul became a child of God that day on the street called Straight, because he counted the cost, trusted the Lord. The Lord granted him repentance and granted him faith. He repented and believed and obeyed the gospel and was saved. You must count the cost to be saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.